And while I was camping this past week, thinking that I had this message to give, I was kind of panicking because I had another idea that wasn't coming together like I'd hoped for. So I was sitting in our van early one morning doing my Bible study, and I was reading the book of Proverbs. I was reading Proverbs 1, and as I was reading it, I realized that I had read this chapter so many times, but I had forgotten to make a connection with the phrase that's contained within verses 11 through 14. We're not going to turn there yet. We'll get there in a bit. And that phrase is, "Let us." Now, during my time at Ambassador, we studied this phrase in Old Testament survey as it related to the Tower of Babel. And I have to admit that I had not made that connection for a very long time. Now, you might be thinking, and actually I want you to be thinking, what is significant about this phrase that I would actually spend the time to speak about it today? Well, my purpose today in this message, it will be more in a Bible study format, but my goal is to construct a scriptural picture or puzzle using the phrase, "let us." And by doing so, I want you to see the record that God has left for us, which in turn should cause us to reflect on what is our motivation behind the things that we do. Now, the book of Genesis is called the book of beginnings. The word Genesis even means beginnings. So let's read the very first use of this phrase, because it's critically important to the understanding of why I would speak on this subject. And it's important to understand how it sets the tone for its use. So Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And I'm sure most in this room could cite it from memory. It reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every other creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God the Father and Jesus Christ are describing their purpose for mankind. And that purpose is ultimately spiritual. But note the physical aspect of dominion. In order to be made in the image and the likeness of God, we have to be prepared for rulership. Only God the Father and Jesus Christ can make this happen by a relationship with them. By creating man in the same image and likeness, what is meant by this statement? Now, there's actually two Hebrew words here worth noting. And I'm going to read a quote to you from Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words. So the word image is Strong's number 6754. And if you want to spell it, that is spelled T-S-E-L-E-N. I have no idea how to pronounce that. It means a statue, an image, or copy. It signifies an image or copy of something in the sense of a replica. It is noteworthy that Genesis 1:26, the first occurrence of this word, image, is the image of God, is represented by these two Hebrew words. So let's turn quickly just to show you something here, to make a connection. Let's go to Psalm 39, verse 6. Psalm chapter 39, verse 6. Too far back. When I turn, it gives you time to turn as well. Okay, so Psalm 39, 6. "Surely every man walks about like a shadow." That's the same word, image, shadow. "Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps riches upon them and does not know who will gather them." I'm after that word, shadow. And Salem then can mean the shadow of a thing which represents the original very imprecisely, or it means merely a phantom. A thing which represents the original, or more closely, but it lacks the reality, the essential characteristic. The second word, which we read was likeness, is Strong's number 1823. And it's demut, D-E-M-U-T. And I believe that's how you pronounce it. And it means likeness, shape, figure, form, or pattern. So demut has three applications. The first one, as we read, means pattern, but in the sense of specifications from which an actual item is made. Okay? Think of God the Father and Jesus Christ. Second, it means shape or form. The things are made after a given pattern. And the third use signifies that the original is made after the thing that is actually patterned. So, brethren, I know that's a bit dry to go through that, but the point is, as physical human beings, it could be said that we are in fact shadows that are patterned after the spiritual reality of who and what God is. We say that God is reproducing himself, and Genesis 1:26 clearly and emphatically proves this. And to boot, what God the Father and Jesus Christ have created, what they called it in verse 31, was very good. Now we know that angels inhabited this earth long before we did. And later, one third of them became demons on this earth before we ever existed. And we know that they rebelled against the government of God. Please turn with me now to the New Testament to see an attitude that has been with the demons from the day of their rebellion until this present day. We're going to pick it up in Mark chapter 1, please. Mark 1, verse 24. And if you're interested, there's a companion scripture, Luke 4, 34. And this is actually one of those rare cases in the Synoptic Gospels that the words of the verses are identical. Usually they have a little bit of a different spin or a different detail that they might add. So we're going to read actually Mark 1:23 to start. Mark 1:23 says, "And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out," verse 24, "saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God.'" This is an example of demons and their attitude, as it's described perfectly through the phrase, "let us." Let us alone. The same attitude, brethren, is an epidemic for mankind. All of mankind is plagued with the same attitude. Let us alone. Now, we could go back near the beginning of the book of Genesis to where Satan deceived Eve, or to the flood, where God was starting over with Noah by wiping out everyone except Noah and his family. But instead, brethren, let's go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Very famous account of the Tower of Babel. And a few weeks back, I got myself in a conversation with someone they go to church on a Sunday. They're not a Church of God member. And we were discussing Noah. We were discussing, what would Noah have brought on the ark besides animals? Noah probably, brethren, we can only speculate, but he would have brought as much knowledge as he could to restart the new world. Coming on the other side, it would have been engineering information, maybe health and medical information, whatever else that would have been pertinent to restarting and begin re-civilizing the world. Now, there's a clear indication of the time lapse. Pardon me, there's no clear indication. Let me restate that. No clear indication of the time lapse from the end of basically Genesis 9 when Noah gets off the flood to the beginning of Babel. We can only speculate. Maybe it's only a couple hundred years. I'm not exactly sure. But let's read Genesis 11, verse 1 through 9. And please, as we read it, note how the phrase "let us" is used. Verse 1 reads, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." Verse 3, "Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth.'" So here Nimrod, it doesn't say Nimrod's name in Genesis 11, but if you check Genesis 10:10, Babel was one of his first kingdoms, it says. So Nimrod and his followers were going to build a city and a tower that would reach into heaven. The implication is that by reaching into heaven, he too would overthrow God's throne. Sound familiar? Satan tried the very same thing and failed. The statement, "Let us make a name for ourselves," is indicative of their selfish desire for rulership apart from God. Again, Satan has surely rubbed off. A mere, maybe few hundred years after the flood. He's right back in there. Let's read verse 5 now. "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language.' And this is what they begin to do." Now, nothing, this is God speaking, "nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." The King James Version states it, "And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." This is very important because this is God, like I said, speaking and stating that with one language, nothing that they imagine will be withheld from them. The imagination which God created is a good thing. However, apart from God's Spirit, it is going to fail. Mankind cannot rule itself apart from the Spirit of God. Verse 7. "Come, let us go down." Now this is God the Father and Jesus Christ speaking. "Let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth." So the last use of this phrase, "let us," in verse 7, is the God family intervening to not only preserve the timeline of their plan, but the rulership issue was settled. God was in control. They had to cease building the city because God confused the languages. Turn with me real quick to Isaiah 55:11. Isaiah 55:11. Verse 11 reads, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto it I sent it." Now I'm speculating here, but Nimrod must have thrown a fit. Not only would he have been bewildered and furious, he would have been humbled by the power of God. His very plan was thwarted, what he was going to try and do. So when human beings, brethren, apart from God's Spirit, when they take matters into their own hands, the results are never positive. Now I mentioned in the introduction about reading Proverbs chapter 1. And the overarching theme of this book can be summed up by the phrase, "a way that seems right unto a man," right? This thought was what sparked this message. And I'd like to make the connection now between Proverbs chapter 1 and Genesis 11. So turn there if you would please. Proverbs chapter 1. We'll read verses 7 through 15. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 15. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol or the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall find our houses with spoil. Fill our houses with spoil, pardon me. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path." The "let us" mindset, brethren, ties directly back to Genesis, and we can thereby conclude that this same spirit, this same mindset, is plaguing mankind. And amazingly, this same mindset, we can take it to another level. Jesus Christ even uses this phrase in a parable to describe his own death. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to read just two verses, but this is the parable of the vine dresser. Matthew 21, verses 38 and 39. Matthew 21, 38 reads, "But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance.'" Verse 39, "So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him." The "let us" attitude, brethren, culminates in the murder of the Savior of all mankind, Jesus Christ himself. Now we're going to make a transition here to us as converted members of the Church of God, as Spirit-led Christians. And as we do, let's have a look at a scripture as a reminder that if it was not for us being called and not for us answering that call, we would be no different than the people in the world. And in this vein, the degree of separation between us and the world, brethren, is very small. Turn with me again, Ephesians 2:2-3. Again, is that these are familiar scriptures to us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3. This is a reminder, Paul's writing, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Verse 3, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." So brethren, how does this phrase, "let us," apply to converted Christians? Well, as we take a closer look at a few scriptures, it will become abundantly clear that there is indeed a difference. Please turn with me now to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. So just back a page or two. Galatians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Verse 26, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Chapter 6, same book, chapter 6, verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Collectively, as a congregation or a body, Paul is pointing them directly, asking them to point their lives directly toward God and His way or His law. "Let us" involves stirring ourselves and others to godly action. Turn with me now, brethren, just over to the next book, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, starting in verse 13. Verse 13 reads, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Verse 14, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you." Verse 16, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." As a person, brethren, with God's Holy Spirit, our focus changes from the self to something greater, the kingdom of God. As Paul stated it here, "Press toward the goal." This is the correct focus. And it can only be achieved if our lives are lived by the Spirit and not by the flesh. This can only be done, brethren, by the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 4. And there are many more scriptures I could have used, brethren. I had to pare it down. But I want to show you. I want this picture to be clear. Hebrews chapter 4 And we're going to hopscotch through this chapter, starting in verse 1, Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us, therefore, fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Same chapter, verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. In verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay, brethren, same book, chapter 10 this time. And here, brethren, we're going to see the use of let us as a means of encouragement when we have slipped. Let us allows us, brethren, as you'll see, to draw on God's faithfulness. Hebrews 10, verses 22 through 24. Verse 22 reads, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. In verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Have there been so many trials in the Church of God in your time in recent memory? I would hazard the guess that you would say no. There seems more and more and more trials. And we definitely need to improve on what verse 24 is telling us. Considering one another, provoking one another to love and to good works. And lastly, brethren, the phrase let us can provide what I call that shot in the arm to focus our priorities when we have many distractions. And I'm sure we're all in agreement that we are living in the Laodicean era of the church. Turn back now to 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 6 through 10. So that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Verse 6 reads, therefore, let us not sleep, as do others. But let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. This is an important calling, brethren, and Paul again reminds us that we are not to go to sleep spiritually. We are to be sober, not like those in the world that proclaim, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Brethren, let's wrap this up now by turning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. And again, after all of Solomon's wisdom and life experience, this is a summation of what our job is in this life. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, I've tried to construct a picture which I found very interesting. One I hope that you found interesting as well. The phrase let us is rich in instruction and provides a clear insight into the history of the dealings of God and man. The Bible begins with God the Father and Jesus Christ declaring, let us make man in our image. And we saw that the demonic influence has been there since their rebellion. And they have no choice now but to cry out to God the Father and Jesus Christ to tell them and ask them to let us alone. From Genesis to Revelation, mankind's approach has been a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is the way of death. Mankind without God's Spirit is characterized by man stating, let us make a name for ourselves, and this way will always fail. However, a person with the indwelling of God's Spirit begins to live their life in a different manner. They begin to live their life by the Spirit of God and not the flesh. This provides the motivation to stir ourselves and others to godly action. Use our time wisely, do good unto others, and draw upon the faithfulness of God when we find ourselves slipping. For the final scripture, brethren, please turn to Revelation 19. And I have to, if I can convey this to you, this was so exciting to me because it's the most interesting conclusion to the phrase, let us. And you'll see from Genesis 1:26, where God states that we're going to be made in His image, we see the examples of let us and how it applies to men apart from God. And we're going to be having a memorial service after this today, and we can reflect on the life of John Beresford and his future as we collectively look forward to the conclusion, which now is the other bookend. Turn with me to Revelation 19:7. It reads, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready."